to the Muskie 360 podcast. What do you think there, Bon Scott J?
I think I've been musky struck.
Oh, wow. Musky
struck.
That
was awesome.
Friggin' awesome.
Musky
podcast. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry I'm a day late. I just got off the high seas with some very awesome my dudes. Jack Peterson and the boys from the Twin Cities in the North Dakotas. We got our butts blown all over the place today. That was a great trip, guys. Thank you so much. Which brings up, I'm going to talk here in a minute. We're going to talk about boat control. Big thing. We got a bunch of Q&A stuff, but like we've gotten a bunch of questions about boat control. So Jay, remind me, I'm going to talk boat control here in a minute, but
absolutely.
But we got a big announcement, right? Muskie Shop's going to do something awesome.
Which awesome thing though?
You're doing so much awesome. Awesome. Yep. Awesome.
Awesome number one is drum roll.
Muskie Shop Summer Bash.
Summer Bash is on.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Muskie Shop is having the Muskie Shop Summer Bash July 17th, correct, Jay?
July 17th. That's a Saturday.
Mark your frigging calendar.
Absolutely do it.
I'm going to be there. Jay's going to be there.
Elmer's going to be there.
I'm teasing. That was like my dramatic pause for they can't come up with anything else cool.
Well, Elmer, Fred, right. All the stare down masters.
Here's the deal.
Jim, the Muskie Shop owner, he'll be in there.
You know, people that work there will be there. But we're also bringing in some awesome guest speakers. We got the boys from Smitty. Joe Booker will be there. If he's not, I'm going to club him like a baby seal.
Says he's probably going to be there. Yes,
Joe will be
calendar.
There. Joe Book Daddy in the flesh. Joe Booker will be there to kiss babies, sign autographs, the whole bit. He's going to talk about musky fishing. We might break out a guitar inside of the store. You never know. It is a mega awesome musky summer bash. But here's the deal. Let's not talk about all the stuff for the normies. Forget that, right?
Okay.
If you listen to the podcast, you're mentally deficient. We all know that. If you listen to me every week, there's something wrong with you. Agreed? Check.
Absolutely.
Me and Jay are going to be doing awesome stuff. So what we're going to do is you come to the summer bash and you get with me and Jay, and guess what? We're going fishing the next day.
Yep.
That's it. We are going to go film for the super awesome Muskie Shop extravaganza, freaking best muskie show of all times. We are filming it, and you are going to be a part of it. If you come to the Muskie Bash and you come sign up with me and Jay, we will take you on the boat for a little bit the next day. We will get out on the water. You can be a part of the super awesome muskie extravaganza, good time, fun time show.
And it's going to be awesome.
It's gonna be freaking awesome. Come out. Also, too, we're gonna have a lot.
I was just gonna say, we're gonna have a lot of door prizes. We're gonna be giving away a lot of stuff. We're gonna have specials and sales.
Ooh.
And what are we gonna do with that podcast thing?
We are probably going to do a live podcast from the store, depending on how sober I am. I mean, if it's past 5 o'clock, all bets
Ouch.
Are off.
Look out.
Watch out, folks. He's DTing at 3:30. Teasing, it's a joke. Steve's got the shakes. What's wrong with him?
Where's Steve? We're live here. I can't find him. I don't know where he is.
He's barfing in the headlocks.
Joe, come here. Let's do this podcast thing, you know?
I hear you. We want to do a live podcast from the store. And hang out with you guys. It's the best thing I can come up with for all the fun time podcast listeners to show
up. I think that'll be really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So we'll try to do a live podcast from the store. If you want to be on it, let me know. If you want to fish with me or Jay.
Probably not me.
Whatever. You want to go out? You know, listen, there's a lot of women's that are into Jay. Listen. All the single ladies. All the single ladies.
Hit up in the house.
You know, Jay's on the market. I don't know. Jay's on the market. He's ready for love. Ooh, baby, I'm ready for love. Anyway.
Next question.
Next question. If you want to go out on the boat with me and Jay, live podcast stuff, we will be filming for the Muskie Shop Secret Super Awesome Muskie Extravaganza Spectacular Show that will be coming out soon. We're going to be filming for that, doing fun stuff. Muskie Bash. Is it Muskie? It's not Muskie Bash. It's Muskie Shop Summer Bash 2021.
That is it.
July 17th. Do not bash muskies, okay? Let's not do that. So, we are going to do a contest for some awesome prizes where I'm going to get real stupid and hide a possum in the store. Not a joke.
Okay.
Okay? So, if you want to hang out with me, which I want to hang out with you, I freaking adore everybody that supports the podcast. You guys make my week better, and I mean that in the most sincere way possible. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. Yeah. I'm humbled. The dudes I was on the boat today we're talking about is just like the podcast is the douche-free zone. Douche-free zone.
How far and how long did those guys drive just from to go fishing for the day and then drive home?
The Twin Cities.
Unbelievable.
Right. Because that the Muskie, so cool. Do you know what the Muskie 360 podcast is, Jay? It's the douche-free zone. It is. We are freaking douchebag-free. If you got an attitude, don't listen to me. We're not out here curing freaking brain cancer. I can catch some big, stupid fish. Who gives a shit? I'm just a normal dude that loves fishing. This is not about being the biggest or the baddest. I'm here to help you guys as best I can. We don't know it all. You guys know that we don't know it all, but we're all trying and we're all working together, which is awesome. I want to see you at the Muskie Shop Summer Bash. Muskie Shop Summer Bash 2021.
It needs a theme song. I can hear it already.
There is already a theme song. That is it. There's going to be fun contests like why are people staring at Elmer?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you win me laughing.
No one beating Elmer, let me tell you that right
now. Listen, I want you to listen. The first person that goes up and challenges Elmer to an epic stare down, you're going to win. Like, you can just steal something out of my boat. I'll be like, take whatever you want. Because if Elmer Jensen,
when you're confronted eye to eye,
if you can make Elmer Jensen uncomfortable, you win whatever you want to steal out of my boat. You want to take a seat? Take it. It's just like one thing that's going to be cool that we're going to do at the Summer Bash. We're going to park at least me and Book Daddy's boat. So it'll be my boat, Booker's boat, Smitty, and some other people we're bringing out. We're going to take all our tackle, and you're going to be able to get into our boat.
Yeah.
You want to see like what I'm throwing? I'll have all my client rods, all my personal rods, all my trolling setups. Everything will be ready to go, ready to fish. I like that a lot. You can
Smitty, all these guys will be bringing their boats. Everybody's got a completely different boat.
Right.
And they've got a completely different setup. And I think it's going to be neat seeing how
you operate.
Guys that are on the water nearly every day, you know, in the summer. And
I get it all the time where we're like on the boat. It's like, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
You can, and I'm serious, you're going to be able to crawl. You can warble up into my boat and look in the hatches and go, that's what he's got in his boat. That's it. So that'll be a fun thing. You know, we talked about that, about like everybody wants to see what's in there. What do you got? You know,
well, when you go to a boat dealer, you know, is there anything in the boats?
No,
nothing.
You're going to get to see, and I got to give a little shout out here to my friends at Low Boats for the Steve Paul super awesome rig. I'm going to show up with that. Not to like be a stupid butthole or anything, but I've got an awesome custom low you can check out, which is a 20 footer with a 55 inch built-in tackle box. It's ridiculous.
Ultimate custom tackle box.
Jay can attest. I have this gigantic stainless steel tackle box is built in the deck, and you'll get to check out the freaking musky machine that has zero carpet. Thank you very much.
The only boat I've ever heard of that's got its own built-in power wash system.
I have a built-in. Listen to this, folks. This is okay. This is for all the pod kitty friends here. What do you want in your boat? I want the world's biggest tackle box, A. B, I want a freaking pressure washer.
Done.
I will hose, like if somebody pulls in on my spot, you know what I'm going to do? Hose them down. I can hit you with like 300 PSI and put your eyeball out with my built-in freaking pressure washer. What do you got now? What do you got?
But anyway, I got nothing for it. Yeah.
Who's got a pressure washer like built in? Like I flip a switch and like I have 300 pounds of pressure of filthy lake water to spray in your boat.
It's awesome.
Long gone are the days of putting a bulldog in your boat. I'm just going to pull over and I'm going to hose you down. Because, listen, it steals my spot again. It gets the hose again.
Well, there's a million great uses for that. I mean, you got that Tennessee heat come this summer. It's
what
just my like,
built what the built-in hose down
oh,
system.
Oh, man,
is.
Shoot that thing straight up in the air. Hey, it's raining out.
It's raining, mans.
Oh, that would feel
it
good.
Is, it's actually for keeping the boat cool, and it's for, like, washing it off. You get slime or you get gunk, and at the end of that, you can actually spray the boat out. When you go, before I put it on the trailer, it's clean and it's good to go. But like I said, we're going to have the boats there. I'm not trying to sell you guys a boat. Who gives a crap?
It's
a
whatever.
But I thought it was cool. And I was talking to Jay and Jim about, like, we're going to park our boats there so you can get in them and go, that's it. That's what they're doing, you know? Yeah, I don't have a Helix 73. You know, I have a Helix 9 at the console, you know, or the little things of what mounts do they use? What do they do this? What are these? You're going to be able to get in my boat. You're going to be able to get in Joe Booker's boat and touch things and check things out and see what's actually in there. And like I said, I can tell you right now, Summer Bash, we're going to give away baits.
Yeah.
Because what do we like to do, Jay?
Give away baits.
We like to give away baits. Do you know why? Because not enough people in this business get free baits. Period.
Mm-mm.
You just don't. Baits are expensive. I like giving away free baits. We are like the Robin Hood of baits, Jay.
Yeah.
That's why Jay has stolen 93 headlocks from work. Don't tell Jim. Jay has a stash of headlocks. Now, we'll give away some awesome stuff. There's going to be some cool rods. But mark it down. It is July 17th at the Muskie Shop in Minocqua, Wisconsin. If you show up to that and you come up and you say, hey, you're retarded, and I listen to your stupid podcast, and I think you're dumb. Let's go fishing. I will take you fishing.
I don't know if I'd react that way. But.
Oh, I would. I'd be like, heck yeah, man. I'm dumber than hell. I don't think much of myself. Who gives a shit? Oh, that guy caught a big fish. He's special. Shut up. Who cares? There's people with that work at gas stations that are more important than musky fishermen. That's the thing. I'm going to tangent here. I'm so sick of it. I'll tell you. Jay knows the day I had. I can't tell you guys what I dealt with today. But I want to vent for a second. If you think you're a hot shit because you're a professional fisherman, you're not. You could probably not pass a freaking GED test. You can catch some dumb fish, but it is absolute frivolity. Thank you very much. So I'm going to leave that there. We're not going to crawl down that rabbit hole, but I feel better, Jay.
Deep thought of the day.
That is my deep thought of the day, because what we're doing is listen, we're like the PBS of musky fishing. We're brought to viewers. We're brought on by viewers like you, or what they say on PBS. Brought to you by viewers like you. I don't know. Do you watch?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Anyway, I've been pitching. Guys, you may have noticed the Muskie Shop videos. There's a very familiar voice that does some overdubs on there. Your good friend, Steve, right? Everybody loves Steve except for Jerry. Okay. There's a dude named Jerry that made some comments. You know what, Jerry? I got something for you. You can choke on it. Anyway, other than that, we have a great time. So I pitched Jay on this, right? We've had some hilarious, hilarious ideas because me and Jay are stupid and we come up with these dumb things like knockoffs of bad Discovery Channel shows, right?
Absolutely. My favorites.
Northwoods.
Bad TV shows.
Northwoods Pickers. Hilarious. Probably mm-hmm. the funniest night, not because of the bit, because of the name, Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. Fun. Naked and Afraid. Naked and Afraid. Get
right?
it?
Yeah. Stuff with Mikniak, the Dust Bowl, the whole bit. Right.
The documentary, you know, the Dust Bowl Survivor.
I tried to pitch Jay this week.
Yeah. Right?
Dadliest crotch. Dadliest mm-hmm. crotch. He didn't go for it, which was just guy like middle-aged men trying on jeans. Like, hey, I'm Dave. I'm trying on some new jeans here on this episode of Dadliest Crotch. Anyways. But if you got any like stupid TV show ideas, like if you can like Forged in Wood, like, which is stupid. We love it. If you got any ideas, send it, because we love having fun with that. The other thing is, if you come to the Muskie Shop Summer Bash, we'll film some dumb shit, dumb stuff for the channel. Guaranteed. 100%. Like, you want to be on a Muskie Shop video, that is the weekend to be there. Me and Jay are going to be acting stupid. Mama Bear Paul will be there. Ooh.
Great.
Jody Michael Paul.
Jody Michael, your lovely wife.
Jody Michael. I'm like, that's so inside, just me and you. What did I say? What are we talking about?
To Jody M, I asked you the other day, I said, what does the M stand for, Michelle? And you said, don't go there.
Don't. Jody Michael.
So I never got an answer, and I don't know why. Mills. But it's okay.
M-I-L-S, Mills. Anyway, that's funny.
Listen, the Jodester.
If you guys don't think we're just having fun, you're wrong. Anyway, mm-hmm. the whole Muskie Shop crew will be there. Fred Palmero will be signing baked potatoes. Come out.
And everybody will be there. Yeah.
Everybody will be there. You can have a good time. Man, I'm rambling at this point. Jay, I was talking about the YouTube videos. And so we're going to like the tip of give us some funny ideas on show knockoffs. I want to know what happened on YouTube this week.
Oh, you mean video challenge?
We've got Elmer. What's going on here? Let's see. I can hear you.
I'm
pulling it up.
Ultimate stare down challenge. Some of you guys left some hilarious comments on that. I got to read a few and reveal the winner, I guess. Parker Endress says, Elmer, no flinching Jensen, always stares at you no matter where you move your phone. He's always watching.
Ooh, not bad. Not bad.
Robert Lemansikaskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskutskut reminds me of the time I saw Jay and Steven in a stare down with a few minor differences. In this stare down, it appears that it ends with a couple of guys walking away and getting back to work. The Stephen Paul JSE stare down progressing in a significantly different direction. All I'm doing is trying to find a couple matlocks when they both politely asked me to shop in a different aisle. I read more. I obliged, but did take a peek back around the corner only to see a I can't read that part. I can't go into too much detail. I can't handle the flashbacks. Let's just say it resembled snakes mating. Wow, Robert. Weird, but yeah.
Robert's weird though. He messages all the time.
Oh, you know that? Okay.
And he plays guitar. We appreciate that. We were talking about. He messaged me, said he's got some Wolf Gangs in a 52 Tele, and he freaked me out. I thought he had a real 52, but he's got a reissue. But nonetheless, he's good people. He's coming up and fishing. It's funny you say that because he's coming up and fishing during that time frame, which is amazing. Who do you think has the funniest? What do you think? Who's the winner?
I like this one from Rob Stoltz. Because he combined kind of both concepts here. He threw some AC/DC in there, which is Joe's thing, and then he used the other one. Elmer nailed it. That's the look she gave me when the Muskie Shop showed up on the bank statement last week. I thought to myself, she's got balls. Just when I thought I'd get kicked in the teeth, I opened my tackle box and showed her my Wango Tango. She looked at me with those dirty eyes and asked, "When's your next order coming? You guys rock. Carry on. Meow."
Meow. I got to tell you, for as much as I hear from like the guys that came and fished with me today or the guys before them from the podcast, You guys crack us up. It is so, like, me and Jay talk about you guys all day long. I love it. You guys are funny. Jay, what did they win? What were we giving away last week?
Stoltz gets that
Ranger boat. Ranger boat.
No, he Ranger got the Stephen Paul Back in Black hoodie.
Nice. That's a $60 value. Congratulations.
Shoot us an email, Rob.
Shoot us.
With your address. We'll get one out to you. And let us know what size you'd like, too.
What was the contest for shitting on Joe Booker this week?
I can't remember. I think you had a bunch of quote-unquote juniors in lines.
Got a
was
ton.
Was it?
I got more juniors.
I might have to go back to last week.
I got tons. Tell me what you want, because I'm a lush.
Joe had a lot of good comments.
I'm
going to
read these
because these crack me up. Yeah, you go for it.
Kyle, right? You know, these. I'm going to start with, I'm just going to go through them. Kyle, Joe, you shoot to thrill, and you gun the reel. Jay's had too many women, too many Pepsis. Yeah, he's going, shoot to thrill, shoot to kill, too many Pepsi. I mean, well done. I like it.
Yep.
One of my favorites, and Jason running Boham. If my last name had that many letters in it, I wouldn't talk shit. Anyway, Jason running Boham says, Joe, you need to be careful. Sorry, I can't do it. Joe, you need to be careful fishing with that Tennessee hillbilly Stephen Paul. His favorite song is Dirty Deeds Done to Sheep. Smiley face emoji guy. Smiley face emoji guy. Smiley face emoji guy. Jason, you just sent me an email. I'm going to send you something because that's amazing. That's amazing. I love that. You know, Ben, I see you, Joe, doing them dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Just don't tell the missus how you treat the musky girls. Not bad. Isaac, your downsizer rod just isn't cutting it. I'm going back in black just to feel the tug tug. Okay. Good work. Oh, what is that? Oh, yo, Joe, that's some rough stuff. Gunning to win something for nothing. I like these guys that use the AC/DC songs that are not, like, everybody knows. That's good. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This guy's like Mitch something, coom goog, whatever. You shook me on it long. It's a lady say after seeing the multiple. Okay, nice, whatever. Moving on. Oh, I'm just, there's so many of them. Okay, the old gun in the reel is TNT Dynamite. You know, Muskie on a Highway to Hell. There's so many funny. Oh, my goodness. I'm scrolling through. Bill Polarski says, had to watch twice to see the real speed up. Good trick. That has nothing to do with our contest, but good job, Bill. You watched the video twice. Good job, Bill. I like this guy. It says Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico.
Crime is on the rise.
That was Napoleon Dynamite, wasn't it?
It was Uncle Rico. Crime is on the rise, but the way you gun that reel, Joe, will keep you safe in New York City, which is a weird, like, late stage AC/DC song. Good job. Rick Thorpe. Huh. That video was TNT, Joe. What do you do for the money, honey? Because I got the down payment blues. Wow. Well done. Riverboy 22 said, she does the bad boy boogie when you sink the pink hooks in her after burning the reel. Dang. Nicely done. No sense. Daniel says, no sense in beating around the bush. Last week, I went down the highway to hell. My comments may have been a touch too much. I got shot down in flames this week. Master Joe to teaching us you don't have to get caught with your pants down. If your girl's got rhythm, fire your guns and turn the night prowler into a heat seeker and get thunderstruck, have a Pepsi. You're the winner, Daniel.
Wow.
Forget it. That Holy is cow. Epic. That it makes sense. Daniel, stupid northern nape.
That was beautiful.
I was reading that one. Nice. You
scripted.
Win. You win shit. Mm-hmm. Email me. Josh. Hell's bells, Joe. You may have gotten that one a touch too much, but if you're about to rock, I salute you. Don't forget to sink the pink or your babe will stink. Nicely done. Don't forget to sink the pink or your bait will stink. A million smiley face emoji guys. Joe, are you ready to shoot to thrill that heat seeker, looking for the bad boy boogie to walk over you like a jailbreak, shot in the dark, gone shooting until you realize you need to sink the pink in that cylinder shirt? Wow. I mean, these are amazing. Guys, so many good ones. Wow. I'm impressed. We got to do another one, Jay. These are too much fun.
We definitely should.
I just spilled Diet Coke all over myself. Wow, I'm a mess. What's this week?
Well, I imagine Joe's going to have another video coming out Friday.
Right.
That's his usual, like, Friday at noon. Mm-hmm. Not sure what it's about, but it's Reloaded.
Fishing with Joe Bucher, Reloaded. I'm trying to...
That cracks me up every time it comes on.
When people... it's funny on the boat. On occasion, I'll do my dumb, like, announcer voice, Jay. I'll be like, that muskie sucks, right? And they'll look at me. Because that's, like, if you guys have ever watched the show, I'm going to get down the rabbit hole real quick. There's a TV show that I adore. Jay loves The Office, right? Jay's a big Office fan. I'm a massive Parks and Rec fan. There's a show on there called Crazy Ira and the Douche. And it's supposed to be like their local radio morning show, right? When I'm doing that voice, I'm basically doing the voice of the douche.
Oh, just, okay.
Yeah, that's my joke, because every time I do that voice, it cracks me up because it's like the bad wannabe Howard Stern voice. And Joe is like, hey, can you do the voiceover for my show? I'm like, Fishing with Joe Bucher Reloaded is brought to you by these fine sponsors. You know, in my head, it's just like, I'm just dying because I'm just sort of doing a character anyway.
Well, every time I think I'm being an idiot, would an idiot do that? I ask myself, would an idiot do that? And if the answer is yes, I don't do that thing.
I don't know.
Dwight Schrute,
you know? I'm trying to think. We need to make it right. The song names have gotten pretty comfy, right? People are like, oh, I can throw some song names in there, right?
What was before AC/DC? What was the week
we
before?
We did Wango Tango. Which
oh,
fine.
It was the Ted Nugent stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Let's make, what can we get real weird? You have to copy and paste the entire lyric sheet from Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Bob Seger's second live album. B-side. Side B.
No.
I don't know what that is or if it exists.
Night Moves. All right, here it is. This is a fact. If you want to win some crap from the Bait Cave. If you guys have never seen the Bait Cave at my house, Jay, tell them about the Bait Cave.
It's huge.
Intense.
Yeah.
We might as well call my house Muskie Shop South, okay? It's yeah. Ridiculous. I got some awesome stuff. I'll send you some cool vintage stuff. You ready?
Hit me.
This is going to suck. And like, if you guys are chicken shits, you won't do it. You have to use a full line from the Rod Stewart song, If You Think I'm Sexy.
Ooh, that's terrible.
It is.
Rod went disco at one point.
Right. Rod Stewart.
That's the result.
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy. Or, if you can't do it with that song, Hot Legs.
Oh, good night.
So, you've got to comment on a Joe Bucher video using...
Like, terrible.
You're going to look like a total cretin. And Joe's going to be like, this guy is a douche.
One guy commented last week, and he had, you know, an in-context comment from an AC/DC-related one. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like left field, just threw it out there. I don't know if we read that one. I don't know if I could find it. Maybe it was the week before. And then, you know, somebody that was just a normal viewer commented, why?
Like, why?
Completely puzzled. Like he was.
Why?
Whoa, you know, like,
why?
Why are you doing this? What? Why?
Why is this happening?
I thought that was super funny.
I'm a boomer and I don't understand the internet.
That was just, obviously you never listened to the podcast because it was just over his head on that one. So
you know what? But freaking, I'll open it up. Weird Rod Stewart song. There you go. It's not as easy as AC/DC. Hot Legs, If You Think I'm Sexy, those are going to win. I don't even know what his video is this week. Surely you can find a corollary. That'll do it. Jay.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll catch Joe off guard.
What do you think the next... What do we need to do next?
What do we need to do next?
Are you giving away anything this week from the Muskie Shop?
No, but starting Friday all weekend, we've got a free shipping special going
on. Free shipping special.
Yep. So that's starting Friday. What is it? What is today? That'll be March 19th, I think. All weekend long.
There you go. You can. Jay's giving away free
shipping. Great time to stock up for all that spring stuff. Doesn't include rods and tackle boxes, the big stuff, just, you know, small stuff. But
we've been doing this for a minute. We should probably get to the muskie fishing, I'm guessing. Which is, I've gotten a ton, because people are getting back on their boat, of messages about boat control.
You're talking about wind? Because you were referring earlier, like you had a really windy day or something?
We had all four seasons in one day.
I know you had those wicked... Well, that's one reason there was no podcast last night. You were losing power every 60 minutes. We had storms.
Like, me and Jay would start the podcast, it'd be like, power's out. And it's hard to stay motivated. Like, you're like, ha, ha, ha. <You know? laughs> let's do that again. Ha, ha, ha. We want genuine, funny horrors. Sure. Anyway. So it was rough. We've had massively bad storms. Today, the top wind speed was 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I am guiding three full-grown men and myself out of a 20-foot boat, 21 overall, in freaking 40-mile-an-hour wind.
Brutal.
Guess what we did, though, Jay? We caught a fish. Caught a fish. Okay.
Yep.
The only reason we caught that fish was running the play and boat control. That is it. And I hate to say that, but we've got a couple emails, a bunch of emails about boat control. And when I say boat control, I want to say this. It is not a matter of boat, quote unquote. I had a client, he was super awesome, came down with his dad. This dude is from Iowa and fishes on a frigging paddleboard and catches muskies.
No kidding.
This could be kayak control. This could be canoe control. Whatever the heck you're floating, bathtub. You want to float around in a bathtub, it all is applicable.
This is going to be interesting. I'm not sure where you're
going
to go with this.
I'm going with this is... The first and foremost thing in bait presentation is boat positioning.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You've got to understand, if my bait needs to land on X, Y, and Z, my boat needs to be on this brake line. My boat needs to be positioned in this fashion, right?
You can't let the boat roll over your spot.
All right. Or roll too fast or pull away. And what I'm talking about, because a lot of people have been messaging, how do I have better boat control? Is boat control important has been a question. Yes. The way that's important is this. Let's say we're dealing with wind, right? And we're dealing with, let's say we are in a 14-foot to 16-foot boat. Pretty common boat, right? If your boat is moving off of a spot, right? We've made a cast and now my boat is being blown off of a spot. Guess what it's doing? It's increasing your presentation speed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a factor to consider. Also, too, if your casts are not lining up and landing on premium spots all the time, that's a factor. So what we need to look at, and what I'll tell you, the big tips I have for you guys that have been asking about boat control is this. let's say we're looking in a windy situation. We need to be nose into the wind every time, right?
Yeah.
And you need to be reading that wind on your cast, because if your baits are not landing in the littoral zone or in the target zone that you're trying to hit, your percentages are going to go down, right? So I'm just going to run down quickly for everybody that's been messaging about some quick boat control tips. A, if you got a big old boat and have spot lock, use it. Learn how to use it. This is a cheap cop-out answer. It's stupid. You've got it on your boat. You paid for it. Use it. Learn how to use it. Make sure your boat is pointed into the wind or into current and lock into it. For everybody else that doesn't have a $4,000 trolling motor, right? Let's say I'm in a scenario. Let's say I'm fishing a northern Wisconsin lake and the wind is blowing me off of spots, right? You need to drive further into spots and make sure your casts that counts happen before you drift out of them, right? You also need to think about actual physical old school anchors. I can't tell you how many muskies I've caught while at anchor. And for some reason that has been lost. How much is an anchor at freaking the muskie? Do you guys sell any anchors, Jay? I don't remember. I don't think so.
We usually have a few, yeah.
Right. So you can walk in the muskie shop and buy an anchor for sub $20. You know?
Yeah.
A piece of rope and an anchor is going to catch you a lot of muskies in bad condition. The reason being is you need that saturation casting to be able to catch fish. I know that sounds stupid, and you're going, why would I anchor? If I'm on a premium spot, my patterning's good, my presentations are good, I need to stay there, I need to linger there, and I need to put in multiple casts. Don't overlook that old school method. I've been doing it for far more years than I've had spot lock. It's dropping an anchor on the bottom, cleating it off, and casting out a spot. It's huge, and it seems so stupid that it's just lost to time. If you're a kayak fisherman, get a friggin' anchor.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge. I hear that all the time. What can you do to help kayak boat control in a kayak? As a kayak fisherman, what can I do to catch more muskies? Lock that kayak in place. Put down a small anchor, a little piece of rope, or tie off to a tree, right? Another thing I'll say for boat control for river guys, because we're getting a lot more river questions. If a river is moving, let's say it's not weather or wind. Today it was weather, and it was awful weather. It's the worst weather I've seen in probably a decade. Don't be afraid to get up on the shallows, right? Beach the boat, cast it out, move. Beach the boat, cast it out, move, right? Get up on the edge. You can usually find pockets, pools, and eddies on the edges of rivers. Get in there and use the environment to your advantage, right? If there's a big old tree hanging out near a spot that looks good, tie a rope to that tree.
Think like a shore fisherman.
Mm-hmm. Think like a shore fisherman.
Shore fishermen are usually pretty effective. They might not cover a lot of water, obviously, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is some stupid, basic, bare-bone stuff. We keep getting asked for these boat control advice or questions that are going to be groundbreaking. It doesn't exist, right? The things you need to concentrate on are, is my boat control affecting the bait's presentation? All right? If the way you're drifting or the way your boat's moving is speeding up or affecting the way you want your bait to move in the water, you need to figure out a way to overcome that. So if I'm getting blown off of a spot, it's speeding up my presentation. It's messing up how I'm presenting my baits. Either I anchor, I tie off, I spot lock until I get my presentation right. That is the best way I've thought about for a couple days for the amount of questions we've got. Your boat control needs to be in a manner that makes your presentation right. Okay? That's the one thing. Like if you go, how does boat control affect fishing? If it affects your presentation, then it's a negative or a positive. That's it. So you need to look at ways, like if we're fishing gliders for some reason, but we're still moving in a river, things are flat, slow the boat down, tie the boat off. There's only a few ways to fix it, which is tight control. You know, when it comes to running your trolling motor and mirroring contours and mirroring weed edges, make sure you're cast off of it. The rest of it becomes wind, waves, water, spot lock, anchor, tie off. Make sure your speed of your presentation, your target presentation, is not changing. Jay, does that make any sense? I'm just trying my best here to answer as many questions at one time as I can.
Well, let me ask you this. What about, how do you feel about transom trolling motors?
Oh, I think it's great. If you've got,
you know, they got to be running, and they got to be running pretty hot.
Right.
You know, to be effective in high winds.
Well,
I mean, there could be a drawback because it's, you know, it's got a lot of thrust blowing.
Well,
and you're baffling and stuff like that, or what do you call it? You know, when the,
right.
the boat, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like today, I ran on a river and I'm running backwards, right? I always want to put my clients on the fish first as much as possible. And I'm running the nose of the boat upstream. So if you're fishing a river, the transom of the boat's going to take, is going to speed you up. Have your boat pointed upstream and run it that way. You know, don't be afraid. Like I've done it before where you put your big motor or a transom trolling motor at a speed where it sort of mitigates the effect of current or wind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Don't be afraid to have a motor on continuous in the back. That'll allow you to fight wind or fight current.
Okay.
You know, at times I will even turn my big motor on and just have it in position. What sort of sucks is back in the day, you used to be able to lock motors in one throttle position. Not the safest thing ever, but it was handy when you're fishing rivers or stuff. You could like sort of match the current and just have your boat where you're just like hardly moving.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Booker's talked about fishing in Canada on a couple of rivers where he's got the freaking tiller between his legs and just had that thing like pinned at one thing. He's like steering with his knees. Not the safest thing. We're not going to recommend that. But basically what you're trying to do is make sure that wind and current is not affecting your presentation. You can solve your problem by using boat control that stops that. That's the best way I can come up with that makes any kind of sense to answer this broad spectrum of questions. So whether it be spot locking, anchoring, tying off a transom trolling motor, the way that you point your boat upstream, downstream, into the current, out of the current, if you know you need to slow roll bucktails, make sure your boat is not working against you. That's it, right? The fish don't care what the boat's doing. They don't know the boat's there. You need to make sure your boat is working for you and not against you. I'm going to get some general Q&A, which is Gavin says, any tips for small rivers, specifically in the north? Jay, that's really up your alley, right there. What do you think? Small rivers in the north, what are you thinking, my friend?
Well, you know, I talked to Smitty and his son Jake a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
They both had a rare day off in the middle of the summer. I remember this stuff. And they went to, if you're familiar with Eagle River, which is, you know, like a half an hour straight east of where the Muskie Shop is in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle River's got a ton of lakes. And it's also the headwaters. Just north of Eagle River is like the headwaters of the Wisconsin River.
Right.
Which is the main river, the biggest river that runs completely through the state. And they went up there in a canoe. I think it was just a small canoe, and the two of them went musky fishing, and they musky fished down this thing, had someone pick them up downstream or whatever, how they
just
arranged that.
Just did a drift, yeah.
Yeah, it just did a drift down that. They said it was so much fun, getting back to basics kind of trip. And, I mean, this is, you know, not a wide river by any means. The way they were describing the probably couple-mile stretch, at least, that they fished, it was almost like a big creek, you know, like where you almost got to pick up the canoe a few times because there's big
too
trees
shallow,
down
yeah.
and stuff like that. And, you know, they caught a few muskies and they just had a riot, you know, it was something to do completely off the beaten path. That's what's kind of neat about our areas. There's so many small lakes you can do that on, you know, that don't have, you know, some don't, a lot of them don't have boat ramps, you know,
right.
Or they just have access, you know, and the only way to get on there is dump a little boat in there. And, but yeah, there's a lot of cool areas like that you can do that on.
But one thing I'll say is this, and he works for you guys now, which is Josh Krieger. Worked for the Muskie Shop
Josh,
guys.
Josh, yeah.
He calls that ghost water. I love
okay.
it. Which is the backest, scariest, dumbest water that no one ever goes on, right? There's not a ghost out there, is what he says.
Smitty, they did not see anybody.
Not a soul.
Nobody.
That's the whole joke. There's not a soul. That's why he calls it ghost water. He has caught unbelievable muskies doing what others are unwilling to do. The one thing I'll say, if you're fishing small rivers or you're willing to fish small rivers or backwaters or, you know, don't go out on Saturday in July on Big St. Germain and expect to catch a fish that nobody knew was there.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get on some backwaters of small rivers, you can catch some fish that are just amazing. Now, tips and tricks for that. Small rivers. You get into issues with river fish, and this is the hardest thing with river fishing. If we have bad conditions that mean I need a slow presentation, and when I'm dealing with current, that's tough, right? Things you need to look at are baits that run well in rivers, right?
Spinner baits. Slow presentation, real snagless, yeah.
Mantas.
High riding. Manta, anything, that's only going to go down a foot or two. Mm-hmm. You can keep it out of trouble.
You know, so if you're dealing with shallow water or rivers, think in that regard. Also, too, and this is something that gets overlooked, and it's been a while. And, Jay, you'll have to correct me because I'm sure I'm going to be wrong on this. Regular bulldogs, do they have a top hook or not anymore?
Oh, no. They took those off years ago.
Is that a pro dog that has it? Or do any of them have them?
No. The Pro Dog has a flexible harness. The other series, you can't call it standard because standard's labeled as the middle size. Okay. Just the regular
we
ones.
Got
you know,
no
the originals. No, they don't have that. They took that off.
Okay. Then what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to take some multi-strand and put a hook on the top of a bulldog.
Hmm.
I cannot tell you how many fish I've caught in shallow to mid-depth rivers by taking the two bottom hooks off and putting one treble or one single hook on the top. And let it get down and bounce it off the bottom. Bounce it off the bottom. Bounce it off the bottom. Bounce off the bottom. Boom.
Cool.
I've done it a billion times. I'm one of the few guys where I go, like I call them my lake bulldogs. I'm going to throw them on Igor. I'm going to throw them in big water. Back in the day, I would cut that single hook off the top, right? I have, quote-unquote, river bulldogs that have no trebles. They have that one singular hook. I've caught a blue billion muskies doing that. That is super.
That would be really easy to rig, though.
Yeah.
You know, all you need is some wire. Put a hook on one end and then just split ring that little rig to the
You could even put two on its back. Bounce it off the bottom.
Right.
It is such an amazing
river. Put a quick set rig on there.
Yeah, essentially. A quick strike rig on the top and work it like a normal bulldog, bottom bounce it, make contact. You could do that with pretty much anything like a toad or a bulldog or a deusa. That's a super ninja river trick I've done. You know, where you're going. You don't want to get snagged and you're making contact. Make bottom contact. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, if it's really shallow, break out the surface baits. Nothing more fun than that,
right.
You know?
And so,
you know, for that, there's a lot of areas you're going to get into really small rivers. It might be a foot deep. You can barely, you know, draft the canoe down there or the kayak or whatever you're using.
And that's the same thing, whether it be up north or West Virginia. Tons of creeks. We call them creekers.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky. You know, think about prime spots, when you see slack water, when you see bends, when you see current seams, focus on those. The one thing I'll say about muskies is this. They're lazy. They're a lazy fish. They're not going to sit there in the fastest stuff all day long, right? On occasion, you'll run into them in fast stuff. Look for the creeks. Look for the – or not the creeks, but look for the current seams, the holes, the pockets, the eddies. Think like a trout fisherman on moving water. Muskies are lazy. Mike Neeb, K could you please talk about leader types and go to thoughts on leaders you like to use for general bait spectrum, for the general bait spectrum? I always want to lean towards fluorocarbon because of its minimized visibility, but I understand that some lures just need something more rigid or heavier or shorter to maximize their function. I appreciate it. Mike, this is what I tell my clients. Jay,
I know what you're going to say.
Cover your ears.
Okay. Earmuffs.
Fluorocarbon is stupid.
Come on.
If they cannot see the 2 7-aught treble hooks on my bait, they're not worried about the leader. Period.
That is flexible.
That is the biggest proliferation in musky fishing of something that doesn't matter. Right? I'm telling you this because I love you, folks. I told Jay to put on the earmuffs. He's listening, but he should have his earmuffs on. Straight wire, multi-strand wire. Fluorocarbon, there is an inherent risk because it can nick, it can chip, and eventually it can break down.
True.
Right? If they don't care about the treble hooks, they don't care about the leader. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. It's a theory.
Theory? Tell me this. All right, I will work on this. In what scenario would a fluorocarbon leader not stand out worse than the 2 7-aught trebles on an alpha dog?
Dead silence.
Fluorocarbon, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're worried about visibility, you're barking up the wrong tree. I would rather fish multi-strand wire. If you need flexibility, fish multi-strand wire. Fish hard mono. Fluorocarbon can nick, it can tear. Metal-based titanium, you guys sell AFW tooth-proof. Straight wire, you sell AFW tooth-proof multi-strand. Or, you know, all these amazing variations there of leader material that has way higher tensile strength and it doesn't have the same possibility of breaking.
Well, 10 years ago, there was no fluorocarbon. Were people not catching, muskies on their 90-pound 7-strand wire that everybody used?
Yeah.
Of course they were.
We are fishing for fish that will hit a bait that have treble hooks that are freaking like the size of your fist on them.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. Sorry. That's why I told you earmuffs.
Well, the hooks might be an extension of the bait, of the illusion of being, you know, the presentation being bait. Whereas everything in front of it is a distraction.
I will bet the title to my house. Any lake, anywhere that I can catch a muskie on any leader material. If you can show me a lake that only fluorocarbon works, not because of presentation, because of visibility, I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that. Again, if it is your preferred leader material and you feel confident with it, more power to you. Don't buy it because you think it is a low viz factor. Not a popular sales opinion. I apologize. So I earmuffed you, but I'm overly honest here.
Yeah.
It's just where I'm at with it. If you think that matters on top water, you're kidding yourself. If it matters on glide baits, jerk baits, I mean, I'm looking at a Phantom, 7-inch Phantom. It has 5-aughts mustads hanging off of it. Come on.
Yeah.
The diameter of the hook shank is far greater than that of the leader. Don't worry about visibility. I focus on strength. What leader is going to give me the best action and articulation of my bait? At times, that is fluorocarbon. I will say this. You can get...
Well, leader failure is unacceptable.
Right.
So why gamble with fluorocarbon?
That is the whole point, and that's why I'm saying it. Because listen, I could get in trouble tomorrow morning over this.
Well, they can cut 90-pound wire, too. I mean, I've seen it happen. They can definitely cut 60-pound wire,
right?
Which is a light alternative to 7-strand. But, right. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Go beefy. Go strong. Don't worry about it.
You use single-strand heavy wire a lot,
124-pound AFW toothproof. That's all I use.
Yep. Do you ever have that stuff kink?
Not once. Oh, I have a kink, but it's like... Okay, I can buy I buy it from you guys all the time. It's like $7 for a billion feet of it.
Oh, it's not even. No, it's like $3.
Okay, $3.
It's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah.
That is my thing. I'll tell you this. Jay, and there's a lot of people, and I love you guys. We laugh about it. I get messages about guys that play guitar, right? I'm a music nerd. Signal chain. If I have a bad cable between my two pedals, I'm going to change it out because I don't trust it, right? I am trying to eliminate any weakness in my signal chain. So if I've got good 80-pound braid, I've got a good knot. I don't want a leader that can theoretically break from abrasion. Straight wire leaders do not break from abrasion. Multi-strand, the only time I can see a multi-strand leader being worth its weight is if I'm twitching minnow baits, right? The rest of the time, straight wire leader will get you done.
It'll get it done with 90% of your other bait presentations.
And it costs, what did you say, $3?
Yeah, not even. Yeah, super cheap.
I'm telling the guys that are willing to listen. The rest of the guys that are like hooked on fluorocarbon and want to spend $13 a liter, they're not going to listen. They don't believe me.
Nothing wrong with fluorocarbon.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's $13 a liter. The rest of the guys that are like, I want to buy more baits, go to straight wire. If you want more minnow bait action, go with a 7-inch leader. First and foremost, our job is to educate and inform. I cannot sit here and tell you that fluorocarbon leaders have a benefit, right? If we're fishing gin clear waters, the waters of the Cisco chain, they still hit straight wire leader. I can't think of clearer stuff than that. We can start naming some waters there in the North Woods or waters I fish or Eagle Lake or some of that stuff where it's like gin clear and you can see down to the bottom at 20 feet. They're not turned off because they see the leader. The hooks, again, if they can't see that there are giant hooks hanging off the bait, they're not worried about the leader. That's it. Moving on. I'm not going to rag on it anymore. I'm not ragging on fluorocarbon leaders. I think they're a quality product. I think they have their time and place. They just don't have a time and place in my boat. Henry says, thoughts on Legend Tournament versus Mojo Muskie. Looking into both rods and wondering if you guys have any strong opinions on either. Love the podcast. Cheers. Jay, Legend Tournament versus Muzzle Muskie. Yes?
They don't make many of them. I'll tell you that right off the bat.
What are the Legend Tournaments?
St. Croix rods.
Mm.
Yeah, don't get me going.
Mm.
We were looking at back orders today. Okay, boring work talk time. Right. Yeah, that was... got together with Tom and we were looking at St. Croix back orders and we looked at these numbers of rods we've had on back order for over 4 months and they're still not here.
Well,
people think I exaggerate sometimes when I tell them, you know, they go, how come you don't have this certain bait or this certain reel or whatever it is? And it's like, well, you know, because there aren't any, you know, they're really behind on production. You know, last order took 3 months. It's like, they don't really care. They just want the product. But truly, St. Croix backed up. I know they're probably trying, but, you know, I think it's unreasonable. It doesn't make me very happy.
Right.
You know, we could be looking 5, 6, 7 months. This order was placed in November, and the stuff's still not here, and a lot, well, not say half of it's still on back order. I don't know when they're going to get them made.
Man, this is the vent show, Jay.
It's like, the vent show. It's like, you know, and they make an absolutely fantastic product. I've loved St. Croix stuff all my life, all my fishing life. But not all the models, and there are a million of them, are available right now.
I'll tell you this, hands down.
But to answer the question, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'll say this, hands down. I'm going with, if I'm going bang for the buck, and I'm not bashing, I'm a cheap, like literally, this parlays in what we were just talking about, leaders, right?
Yeah.
I can make a month's worth of guiding leaders for $4 buying it from you guys. You know, when it comes to rod, I'm the same way. Here we go, folks.
Well, unpopular
opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We are musky fishing, right? There's not a lot of finesse. If you can't feel the bait down the rod, you're not alive. Okay.
Yeah, with Superline, the translate, right. It'll translate there's it to a anything. Solid fiberglass. So, I mean, you know, you're going to feel it.
We're throwing 5 to 15-inch baits. So don't talk to me about super sensitive.
Yeah, sensitivity isn't much of a factor when it comes to selecting a musky rod, no question.
Right. You guys know I'm biased. Shield rods. If you've been on my boat and you're throwing a shield rod, it's $189 for a friggin' rod that throws like a, just like, it's amazing.
Well, you can get an 8.6 heavy or 8.6 extra heavy for $150.
Right.
They're on sale right now.
So I have.
They're great.
Previously, I was a St. Croix guy. I threw them. I've thrown the Mojos. I have thrown Legend Tournaments Elites. The famous picture of me where I broke Joe's custom-made Legend Tournament Elite. I broke that with a $99 Bulldog rod. We hit tips. I sliced his in half and mine didn't budge. Right?
Yeah.
So if you're watching me on a Joe Booker episode, I'm actually fishing the 8.6 $99 Bulldog Predator rod. Because
can't get those either right now.
No.
But anyway, yeah.
In those videos, I'm fishing like the cheapest rod on earth. The reason being is because I don't need to spend $1 billion on a rod. If you need to have St. Croix accolades, right? It's like me and Jay. Hey, all right, well, I'm going to lay it out here. We're venting, right? Jay, guess what? I just got new tires on my truck, and I overpaid for them.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
That is awesome.
You never...
I paid too much for my tires.
Listen.
Really? Okay. Really?
No one...
Why did you do that? Because I paid too much for the tires.
Yeah.
Because they're great.
No one in their right mind walks up to your car and says, are those Yokohamas?
Yeah.
Okay?
Whew.
If you need your friends to think you're awesome, buy you a Legend Tournament Elite.
I am not knocking those, though, Steven.
You can't. I can.
No, because they're great. Answer the question.
Okay.
To answer the question, uh-huh. Legend Tournament, the blue rods, uh-huh. as I call them, beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Handcrafted in Park Falls, Wisconsin.
Amazing.
Hop, skip, and a jump from the musky shop. And Mojo series was his other comparison rod series.
Right.
Those they make also in their plant in Mexico. They're they're basically a same specs and all that of the Premier series, which are the original, really bread and butter St. Croix Musky series.
Right.
And with the difference is the color of the blank. And they are split grip only, whereas the Premiers are full grip.
Right.
And those are real nice, too. It's more of an economy line, but a lot of them are $160 to $300.
Yeah. Buy a shield
if you call
rod.
That economy. So, yeah.
Buy a shield but, rod. Full grip. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We're talking about split grip versus full grip. Rip a bulldog all winter long and tell me you want that split grip digging in your ribs.
In the ribs, yeah.
In the ribs.
I'm a full court guy.
I'm a full court guy. I'm sorry, I'm biased. Jay has to toe the line here. They sell all this stuff. I love, again, my dad, would smack me in the face for saying a disparaging word about St. Croix. Loved him, right? I love it. I don't need the name. I'm going for bang for the buck because that's a boomer stick to me. Right? That's what I think of. You want to hear my opinion? St. Croix, boomer stick.
Okay.
Right? You bought your house for $5,000 because you worked at the gas station and made $6 an hour. Yeah, the world's different. I'm not paying $800 for a rod or $500 for a rod. Get me a $180 rod that fits in my rod locker. I'm good. Man, I am like really a jerk tonight. Anyway, Bob said.
Bob.
He's one of the guys that pointed this. He said, what are the keys to good boat control and boat positioning? So I wanted to touch on that because I left this question in there. You know, what steps can an angler take to improve on the boat control and technique, which is not something I touched on, which is this. Right.
Here we go.
I'm just going to throw it out there quick. No more boat control stuff.
Okay.
Know your motor. Have a good feel for it. The things I can tell you real quick is if you've got a power steer like a XI5 or some of the other Minn Kota motors that are like you don't have a cable control, make sure you know that motor inside and out. You've spent time getting accustomed to it, right? That's not exciting, but you need to do that. The other thing I can tell you real quick is just having a feel for the wind, right? You want to not be drifting at all. Make sure we're facing into it. The same stuff is said anyway. But that's the biggest thing I at least want to touch on is like, know your equipment, right? When I get a new trolling motor, I don't go out and go fishing. I spend like 4 or 5 hours getting to know that equipment. That's the other thing I didn't touch on. I at least want to touch about. Rick says, I have, and this is more rod talk. I have an 86 EX Heavy Fast 20 through 80 pound, 1 ounce through 8 ounce rod. I have another 86 line weight, 30 through 65 pound, 2 ounce through 7 ounce rod. I'm wondering if I need a heavy rod, like a 9 foot shock and all for heavy rubber, or are those other rods sufficient? I'm going to chime in. Jay, you know all the rods when I say this.
He said he's got one rod that's 1 to 8 ounce rating and the other one's two to seven.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to say the unpopular opinion.
I'd like to know what rod brands they are, but he didn't include that in there because
extra heavy. He's looking at the shock and awe. They're both 8.6s, so they're gonna probably.
Oh, he said shock and awe. Okay, it's an assault stick. Right. Yeah. Probably.
I want to say something. Here's the unpopular truth. If it can catch a muskie, it can throw a pounder. Moving on. I throw one rod all day long, every day. That's it.
9 foot heavy shield rod.
Well, I threw the 9.6 Proto coming out here soon. If you guys want a 9.6, how long we got to wait, Jay?
Oh, it might be out by the Muskie Shop Bash, summer bash right. time.
So ooh, you're talking about the only guy that throws a 9.6 because there's only one. I throw pounders and I throw AC shiners. Okay. Muskie Shop, I don't even think Muskie Shop has ever had an AC Shiner weighs nothing.
Oh, AC Shiner. Okay, not made anymore.
We're getting old school. Charleston, West Virginia, boys. that's for my hillbilly boys. But, again, I promise you, you can come to the Muskie Shop Bash. You give me any bait, I can throw it on one rod. Promise you. Like, don't buy into it. You don't need a stack of rods. You need a stack of baits that work. I hate to say that, Jay, earmuffs. But again, as much as we would love to sell you 15 rods, you don't need them. Learn to work the baits on one rod. Stop looking for a piece of equipment that's going to fix your presentations. I find it far harder to throw a pounder on an extra heavy rod than a heavy rod. Let the rod load up, get the cast down, and get it out there. If you don't believe me, we can go over right there to Lake Carroll by the shop. I'll throw double tail pounders on a heavy all day long. It will not break. I can launch them like a catapult. It's about good casting mechanics. It's about good freaking just the physics of knowing when the rod loads up. And then I can take off that double tail pounder. I can put it on a rattle trap. I can launch it halfway across the lake. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy stuff to fix your problems. Stop buying stuff to fix your problems. Buy stuff to catch more fish. I've dealt with it all week long on the boat, Jay. I'm venting again. Questions that have come up continually. Do I need? Yeah. Should I buy? Do I need? Should I buy? Should I? What you need to do is learn how to use the shit you already have.
Yeah, rule number one for sure.
Right? If I can make a living musky fishing with one 9.6 shield rod, a crappy 5.3-1 reel, and I can throw any bait in a boat, you can do it too.
Yep, then you're set.
Then you can dial in on this presentation is a little bit better on this rod or that rod. I'm not trying to soapbox you. I just want people to focus on catching more fish. Musky Shop knows this. If you catch more fish, guess what you're going to do? You're going to buy more baits. So we're not like saying don't buy stuff. What I'm telling you is this is, and I know I appreciate your question, Rick. You're going, do I need this? Do I need this? Do this. That extra heavy 8.6, if you can't throw big rubber on it, throw it in the trash.
There's a lot of musky rods out there where people bring their combos in to, you know, get spooled up. So we see a lot of the gear that people use mm-hmm. that sometimes is stuff we don't sell, you know.
Right.
You know, like they got some Bass Pro, like heavy, extra heavy, you know,
garbage, bass rod. Garbage stick.
Yeah, that they got a combo, they got a good deal on it or whatever. And, you know, I mean, you're not going to tell them, hey, your equipment sucks. But, I will. You know, if it's an extra heavy bass rod, chances are that's not a good choice for an all-purpose musky combo. It's not. If the lure rating's even half accurate, you know, if your rod's not, yes, 1-4, something mm-hmm. like that, minimum, then it's too light.
I'll say that.
But like Steve said, you know, you get that shield rod or that St. Croix or that whatever you're using, that Chaos Assault Stick, and you know you get the SWAT model or whatever you're running,
which is a great rod.
Kind of in the middle of the road. You're going to be able to throw a super wide variety, and then it just boils down, like you just said, learn the presentation.
Yeah.
If you had three different types of lures, like a bucktail, some type of jerkbait, and some type of crankbait, I mean, if you had three good ones, you're probably going to be really effective catching fish on those three lures because you're going to concentrate on really fine-tuning the presentation on the only three you have.
Yes.
You know, I've been fishing with a million, and I'm totally guilty of this all the time. It's just, you know, getting that bait freak, we always call it bait freak, you know, or you're always changing lures. You know, I got 600 baits, you know, in my tackle box here, like your stupid new rod locker you got, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, big Steve Paul, I mean, he runs, you know, how many baits you got in your boat ready
to go?
400 or 500.
100.
You know?
Yeah.
The normal person would be like, I want to try a lot of these, you know? There's a lot of cool stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah, how many baits
but,
I ran?
But, you know, spend your time trying to make that one work perfectly, and then you're going to catch fish.
And that's the thing, though, today, the guys that are on the boat, you know how many baits we ran? 5.
Sure.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You got to have everything to, but I'll tell you this, and this is just my thought. We've been talking a lot about rods, a lot of rod questions. Okay. We're not talking mediums. We're not talking light. We're not talking downsizer. I'm talking a musky rod. You want a musky rod, stick you a Tranks or a Kuma or a Revo on a freaking 9-foot shield rod heavy and shut up and learn how to fish. That's it. Because here's what I see when it comes to rods. You're talking about bait freak, right?
Mm-hmm.
there, you have bait freaks and you have rod freaks and you have both. And you have guys that are looking at rods going, what should I throw this bait on?
You're saying,
uh-huh.
You're saying don't be a pro bass fisherman right. when you're musky fishing. You know what I mean?
Throw the,
you know, the pro bass fisherman. Yep. And that's a different world. I understand that,
right.
But they got 11 to 12 to 14
rigged rods, yep.
rigged rods ready to go. And sometimes they have to have that. They got to.
Well, switch and they're
to purple right. watermelon, you know, a purple watermelon, whatever is, right. you know, is what they want. Yep. Go
that's
for
the
it.
Thing is, it's just too many options.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about my boat loaded to the gills with baits, right? I have all kinds of options, bait options. The reason I have so many baits, I'll tell you this, there were four people fishing off my boat today. So if I get a, let's say I get on a bite that's shallow invaders, right? Guess how many shallow invaders I need? 6 to 8 in the boat, right? Mm-hmm. If you're fishing with yourself or you're fishing with your buddy, you don't need that many baits. I'm a guide. So in any given day, I could have 4 anglers, 5 anglers on the boat. I need a lot of variety because if we get on a tear, everybody needs the same stuff. Hence
yeah,
the,
yeah. Right. You got to throw a light colored shallow invader.
Right.
You know,
I need from a minimum
where we are
4.
And what's
right,
happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the multiplicity of the baits. That's why the number is so high. But we don't switch rods ever. Ever. I've never once in my entire guiding career gone, I need you to throw this bait and I need you to get a different rod. I've never once switched rods. Back in the day, we used to throw, prepare yourself, folks, here, 6-6 premieres and 7-6 premieres. The 6-6 were for reef hogs, posed giant jackpots, and suics. Yep. And the 7-6 were for bucktails, which consisted of eagle tails and slop masters. And freaking Lindy.
Don't laugh. I still
right,
got that gear.
Lindy tandems.
Yeah.
Right?
The
MG. That was it. We would rock it with 2 rods. Slow down. Okay. The thing is this. Musky fishing, and the reason we made the app is musky fishing is a the culmination of decisions. Right? I'm pontificating here, but right. Where do I fish? How fast do I fish? What bait do I fish? What color do I fish? What time do I fish? Right? Is there a major? Is there a minor? Blah, blah, blah. So I've got off the top of my head 5 major decisions. What rod do I throw? Take it out of the equation. You're adding more and more factors, more and more factors. Learn to do everything with 1 rod. It will save you so much heartache. I've seen guys digging through their tackle box and pull out a suic, and then they're rifling through their rods, and they're switching the bait onto different rods. Just learn to do it with 1 stick and be done. Buy a great musky rod and learn to do everything with that 1 rod. It's like for you guitar players out there, like they're dorks like me and Jay. There's not a gig I can't play with a Telecaster and a Fender Twin.
Mm-hmm.
From death metal to frickin' reggae, I could get it done. That's the way I look at musky fishing. Give me a rod and a reel that is sufficient. Right? The same way I got on that stupid, nasty tip about fluorocarbon leaders. Do you know why I don't believe in fluorocarbon or all these other leaders? Because I don't have time to think about it. I don't. I have a 9-6 shield rod with a Boo Garcia reel with a 12-inch straight wire leader. And that's what I throw. I don't question it. Right? So less of my mental capacity is spent thinking about equipment, and it's focused on good presentations because good presentations catch muskies. I have people coming out on my boat throwing Okuma EBX rods I've cut the trigger off of and converted into spinning rods. And that's all they throw. That is what my spinning gear is, at a Akuma 9.3 with the trigger cut off. And that is my spinning rod. We're not thinking about weight class with those. And we're catching tons of fish on them. That's how little it matters. Does that make sense? Am I just too far afield? Have I lost my mind?
No, it's good.
Anyway, folks, soapboxing with Steve Paul. Got a couple more. Like, literally, by the time we've reached podcast episode 250, I'll have you guys fishing with cane poles. Anyway, Sam says, "Hey guys, I'm getting geared up for the 2021 muskie season. Joe often promotes the here we go again. A lot of rod questions. Joe often promotes the Legend Tournament Downsizer Rod. Is there equivalent rod in the lower price point?" Thanks, Sam. Akuma.
Yep. Akuma. Heavy Akuma.
Akuma, like, they're heavy is like a medium.
Their heavy is pretty light. It's like a medium. It would be like a medium heavy, which is what a downsizer is.
Get an Akuma. The Akuma makes the EBX 9.3 meat heavy, right, Jay?
9.3 is a cool one. Yep. You make an 8.6 too. Yeah, either one would be nice.
Telescoping. If you guys have a question about telescoping rods, don't. Get something to worry about. I'm serious. Like,
there's not a telescoping rod out there that we sell that isn't proven.
Yeah.
It hasn't been out for years and with basically zero failure.
On the early Shield rods, Jay can attest to this, okay? I caught a 55-inch muskie on the early Shield rods.
That was one of the first fish you got on it, too. Yep.
Didn't budge. If you're targeting muskies bigger than that, let me know. I'll be there in a heartbeat. But if you
can, you were trolling too not that long ago. I don't know if you ever told that story publicly when you got that. All of a sudden, you looked over and one of the rods. It was a 9-foot Shield rod, I think, or maybe did you have the trolling one on there when that striper hit?
I caught about a 40-pound striper on that thing. Yeah,
yeah. I've seen the picture. You said it was like the most violent strike. And the first thing you did after you released the fish after taking a picture was look at the rod for damage. Because it was that bad.
Me.
It was like, it was just doubled over violently.
Here's the thing I tell clients often. Where I'm at down here, we have no bycatch other than gigantic striper. And when muskies are cute, but when those things hit, it's like a jackhammer. It's stupid. And Jay and you know, Muskie Shop, obviously you guys know if you listen to the podcast, have been so gracious to I guess I'm the face of Shield Rods or some weirdness like that.
Or something.
We work with it and, you know, you guys know I'm pushing this stuff and I love it and believe in it. But, like, I told you guys, it's like, I've got to fish this stuff first. I don't say fish this. You know what I'm saying? And I told you guys that. Like, I've got to fish it first. I got to believe in it. I called you guys like, yeah, this thing's good. Because it was like, we were doing like 4 miles an hour and it hit a headlock and it was 40 pounds. And that rod, I've sent you the footage, Jay. That rod tip just bends like under the boat. And I'm like, no. So it's good.
You also, pull a guru and have the thing just like fly out of the, either break or fly out of the rod, you know, the rod holder and just go straight to the bottom.
Fun Shield Rod factoid. Me and the guru have lost every Shield Rod prototype there is. So if there's a new Shield Rod out, me and guru have lost one. Sam, I'll tell you this much. Apparently this is the Rod Talk episode. If I was going to pick up a downsized rod, bang for the buck, because Shield Rods are heavy, extra heavy, I would go with that Akuma. I simply would. I think they're a great rod. The dollars to donuts on that rod's good. It's collapsible. You can stick it in your rod locker and be done with it. What do you think, Jay? What's the price point of this? Like $120 or something like that? $130?
Akuma?
Yeah.
They're like $110.
Oh, come on. That's giving them away.
Yeah, $120 maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong.
What are you going to do?
At that price, I mean,
you can't
it's nothing.
You can't make your own rod out of twigs.
That's barely the cost of a headlock once you factor in tax. We got some jointed headlocks yesterday. I think yesterday. And anyway, he only made like 18 of them or something like that. God. They're all gone, I think.
First
jointed headlocks, $150.
Jay will buy you one out of his own pocket for first per season.
No, they're all gone. And that might be all he makes this year.
Probably. That's the thing is like, okay, let's just break it down if you guys are still paying attention at this point. I'm looking at the next question. It's literally another Rod purchase question, right? Here's where I'm at on rods. If you're looking at a musky rod, and you are not, if you are sub 5'10", an 8'6" might work for you, right? If you're 5'9", 5'10", get a 9-foot shield rod, shut up, move on with your life, right? If you can't pony up and afford $200, buy the Akuma. It's going to hold up. The eyes might blow out of it eventually, but it's still a good rod. You're going to get your bang for the buck, right? Those are the only two rods I'm throwing at this point. My clients throw Akuma EBX 9.3s, and they use them as spinning rods, and they're the best spinning rod I've seen in a while.
Well,
right? If you got to have a big banging name for the buck, if you got to have the name, you can't beat a St. Croix. If you don't care about it, buy the shield rod and shut up. And if you think I'm just whoring shield rods, you're wrong. I live and breathe by them. I trust them more than anything. If like ninjas jumped in my boat and karate chopped them all in half, I could afford to replace them all for less than a St. Croix. That's where I'm at. You know, like I said, if I can land a 55 on one, you're good. I promise you.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Like tis the season for rods. You want to talk reels? Different story. Bang for the buck, bang, like freaking buy good baits. If you got to show the other boomers how awesome you are, buy a St. Croix and spend the money on it. Again, the equivalency for me is like bragging about how much you pay for your tires. A rod is to get you from point A to point B. We're not in a finesse game. We're not freaking. If we were fly fishermen, I would be like, listen, you have to buy a Scott fly rod because the sensitivity when we're nymph fishing is imperative. We're throwing 1-pound chunks of plastic, Jay. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yep. Cannonball. That's all I'm saying. That's my thought there. The other rods that are good, I think the Chaos series of rods is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Great rods.
They just came out with a 10 footer last week.
Yeah. It's wicked.
In the 2020 series. They're like 350, but it's a 10 foot telescoping rod.
350. Again, guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not the Ranger St. Croix guy. We're not the Ranger St. Croix podcast. I'm not knocking St. Croix. I'm not knocking Rangers. God bless you if you got them. If you want to catch fish, you don't have to have it. I like the Chaos stuff. Again, we get so many budget-minded questions. I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, fished off of Joe Booker's boat on Joe Booker's television show with a $99 Bulldog Predator rod and caught big fish. Why did I do it? To prove a point, right? Buy what you can buy the, and I'll say this, and I'll just summarize because I'm just like freaking, if you really want to hear me soapbox and get mad, I could go off like a bottle rocket on how much stuff costs. When it comes to a rod, buy the longest and the best one you can afford and stop worrying about it. Agreed? Does that make sense, Jay? I know
everybody is budget minded and they really should be.
Right.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I mean, no. If
hey, this is an expensive sport, you know, it's kind of ridiculous the price of some of the stuff, but I mean, everyone wants cool stuff, but like you said, when it comes to a rod, you can get a great rod these days under $200.
Yeah.
What more do you need? It's going to get the job done really well for you.
Yeah, get the job done. Man, we are harping. Jay, we have run like super long, guys. We're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Leave those comments on the contest. make sure, listen, I'm dead serious. July 17th at the Muskie Shop. It is the Muskie Shop Muskie Bashing Festival. We're going to bash muskies over the head with shield rods repeatedly. We're going to have a bobbing for muskies pool. I'm teasing. It is the Muskie Shop Summer Bash. You need to be there. We're going to do some fun stuff. We want to see you. We want to hang out with you.
There's going to be some great seminars on our outdoor stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be an outdoor stage.
Right.
And rumor has it you might even emcee the whole day's events.
Possibly.
Joe Booker.
Smitty.
A lot of big names. Some guides are going to speak. Seminars.
The JSE dancers will be there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jay's got a dance troupe.
We've got the podcast.
Podcast.
We've got specials and giveaways and prizes and boats rigged by the bulls' boats.
I'm going to make you a deal.
Okay.
I don't know how many of you can actually make it. If at least 25 podcasts, and there's so many people listening to this thing, but I know it's like asking you guys to be there. I promise if we get 25 podcasters there, we will have a parking lot drink off. I'm buying. I'm teasing. I want to hang out with you guys. Let's get together July 17th. Then on the Sunday, on the 18th, we are going to have the Muskie 360 Muskie Shop Fishing Excursion. Right?
Yeah.
Come out on the 17th or hit us ahead of time. We're going to go out and we're going to film some stuff. We're going to go fishing. And I mean this in all seriousness. If you want to, like, let's say you're like, hey, Steve, I want to come up for the Muskie Shop thing and I want to learn how to fish glide baits. I will give you time on the water and I will teach you how to fish glide baits. You want to learn how to do this? You want to learn how to do that? You just want to hang out and tell stupid jokes? I love it. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time on the water. We'll get everybody on the boat. We'll do dumb stuff. You know, I don't know. We're going to play it loose and fast. That's how I do everything.
It's true.
It's loose and fast. So get with us. Email us. If you guys want to make it up to that, make it up. Figure it out. Whatever. We're going to party like it's 1999. I'm tired. I have to guide again tomorrow and the day after that 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 and the day after that. So I'm going to shut up, Jay. Another unbelievably informative venting horrible podcast, Jay. Congratulations.
Musky
podcast. All right, guys. We'll catch you next time, folks.